I'll call the meeting to order for the Metro Council work session of March 19th, 2018. And I will ask Councillor Craddock to provide the safety briefing. Thank you so much.
We're going to have this memorized soon. I'm not quite there yet.
And actually, Martha's completely gotten out of it, so maybe Martha can take it one day.
Yeah, any day that you want me to do.
All right. So please note that we are on the third floor. In the event of a fire or fire alarm, please exit out through this door in the northeast corner of the Metro Council chambers and go down the steps to the second floor. We will then meet in the main and exit through the main entrance by the reception desk and go out into the atrium out there in the open space. We'll meet in the courtyard. In the event of a fire or a medical emergency, please call 911 and notify the security agent at the front desk. And then the nearest defibrillator is mounted on the steps as you go down to Grand Avenue, And then there's also a fire extinguisher located in this chamber on this back wall in case there's a fire. Thank you.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. A round of applause. I thought I heard a round of applause. Next on the agenda is a work session topic of regional investment strategy, parks and nature program options. So call forward John Lasher. Thank you, John.
Good afternoon, Council President Peterson, councilors. For the record, John Blasher, Metro Parks and Nature Director. I have my jacket off today, my sleeves rolled up, working hard. That's right, it is work session, and we are busy doing a lot in our department as we look at advancing this potential bond. So, what I have for you all today are mostly some updates of just where we're at, what information has gone out in advance of this meeting, and we're starting to get some input on, and then also an opportunity to have a bigger conversation about the urban transformations program area and just sort of some of those concepts. So in January, the new Metro Council gave us direction to develop a bond measure and identified new program areas and outcomes and the criteria for investment. We shared in advance of that meeting the discussion of all those drafts, So you should have all of that information, finding the relative scale of the investments, what those investments can accomplish, what the different program areas look like, and how we're using council's direction to advance racial equity and explore the climate change and being prepared for that. We've also received some feedback and want to share and give a little bit of update on what we've heard from some of the community engagement to date. And as we have all those different draft documents before you, I think we've already set up some briefings with councilors to go into depth and detail of some of the maps and more of the information that you all receive. So, where we're at now is we had a great opportunity last week to hear from Dave Metz to help make the case as why investment in parks and nature are so essential to our region and the people who live here. Some of the public opinion polling we heard was that as more people come to the Portland region, it's more important than ever to protect land for people and wildlife. We also heard that this measure really supports the idea that parks and nature are more than amenities and they need to be accessible to everyone. People need places to relax and enjoy beautiful natural areas, parks and trails that are close to home, and open to everyone, white, brown, or black. Some of that research presented by Demos last week reminded us that using this phrase explicitly to call out white, brown, or black rather than just everyone language and really being able to help highlight what it is we're talking about when we talk about advancing racial equity in communities of color. We also know that people support parks and nature investments because they know what it means to their community and to the legacy they will leave their kids, really underscoring that idea of the legacy that they will leave their kids. As Metro is looking for the future and for the region, this really ties into something that we can all agree upon. So while a lot has been accomplished over the 25, 30 years of this department, amid some of the dramatic changes that we're seeing as there's more people moving here, we're seeing the climate change, all of these different things really underscores the need that climate change puts our communities and natural areas at risk. With extreme weather threatening people, water, and wildlife, investing in parks and natural areas is part of the solution. They can help remove the carbon pollution that causes climate change, improve air quality, provide wildlife habitat, and act as a buffer during disaster like flooding. This comes directly from some of the public opinion research that we've had recently. So it all goes back to this question of what's Metro's role and what is that key role that we play. And it's clear from our community engagement from local partners that they are looking and counting on Metro to play that role in the region that includes our efforts to protect water quality and natural areas, working with local partners to connect people to nature close to home.
That's they want to join phone. In.
Yeah, someone wants to call in. So our role in the region and our need for our role is clear, and it's balancing that protecting and connecting nature and people. So, as a reminder, where we are moving forward in this, in January we talked about the desired outcomes and investment criteria. In February we gave direction on the size of the potential bond measure and gave staff direction on the range of investments to consider. Now here in March, we've continued to refine and determine how we can deliver the strongest overall outcomes for the public and for the land. And we're planning to kick off our broadest community engagement in early April. So with this additional community and stakeholder input and feedback, staff is scheduling to bring to council a final draft COO recommendation in mid-May with the idea that council would take action in early June, maybe late June, when we have a full council table seated. So after voter approval is when there will be more ongoing community engagement to develop additional important details, identifying priority projects and detailed land acquisition strategies and the details and requirements that provide accountability to the public post-election. So that's where we are. So here's a reminder of the information that were in your packets that went out before. It talks about the size and scope and criteria. Staff will be developing the public engagement materials using the information and direction provided by council to date. So these include, again, the size, scope, criteria, including equity and climate change, call that explicitly, or climate resilience, maps and project lists, metro project lists, with target area descriptions. So we're looking forward to having all of the briefings and going through and clarifying any technical questions that you might have. If you have any questions, additional questions or input that you need to be incorporated into the public materials, we'll just need to hear from you as soon as possible later this week, next week, and into the end of the month. So just call out, too, that the major public comment period will be April 4th through the 29th.
When you say potential projects, do you mean things that we know are in the phase two projects and things like that? And what maps in particular would we include in the engagement?
So there will be three main maps. One will be a map of the region showing potential target areas for land acquisition and protection, including an urban growth boundary sort of target area, which we'll go through and brief you all on. The second map will be a map of the potential regional trails to invest in and some logic behind the criteria that we might want to apply to a refinement process to select those different trails. And then the third map will be a map of the region showing the capital projects that we know are on the Metro's capital projects list. So whether that's phase one or phase two or things that are still in the planning and design. So you will have a great sense of what the Metro capital projects are, where they're located. Okay.
Just to clarify, so you're referring to Metro facilities?
Correct, yes.
Properties that we own or projects that we want to build?
Correct. Okay. So currently, these are the six program areas for investment consistent with Council's previous direction, land acquisition restoration, local park projects, nature neighborhood grants, Metro capital projects, regional trail acquisition development, and urban transformation. We've been hearing some feedback on urban transformation from some of the park directors, regional managers, and the stakeholder table, and some community members really seeking for a little bit more clarity of what that urban transformation program area can and will look like. So we're going to have that conversation just a little bit later. I'll provide you with a few more updates of where we are before we dive into that topic. So, performance measures. You asked us to come and bring to you some potential performance measures that we'll be looking at for connecting people to nature. So I just wanted to give you an idea of how we're evaluating that concept of nature deficiency across the region and how we'll use that as a performance measure in the bond. So we're looking at nature deficiency in two ways. First, how are the local park providers defining it and using that information to guide their systems. Second, how does Metro's park system of parks, trails, and natural areas help address those areas of nature deficiency? So different park providers have sort of some of their different standards that they're using, and we're proposing that local projects be measured against the standard set in their local master plans. For our Metro portfolio, we're developing methodology that looks beyond proximity for access and to nature, but also what are the amenities provided and what's the quality of that nature that they're getting access to. So this methodology is a combination of quantitative and qualitative data. Some of the questions that key questions that it'll answer are Metro facilities equitably distributed throughout the region? Are people able to get to and use Metro facilities? And do Metro facilities include amenities that make all people more likely to feel safe and welcome? So this is a project that will continue to develop over time in partnership with local park providers in the region, and we're happy to provide additional information as our work on this project progresses. Any burning questions on the performance measure update? Great. So racial equity and local share. At the stakeholder table in separate meetings with local park directors, we had the opportunity to talk about some different approaches for that local share. And the feedback of what staff recommends going forward is that we keep the administration of the program as simple as possible. You might remember I walked around three different options of how we might provide an allocation or a distribution method for that, building off of assessed value within the counties and then population by specific jurisdiction. We looked at a second option, which would take that base plus some equity focal areas and sort of looking at some geographic target areas, or a third model that looked at potentially having an additional grant component to that. The resounding feedback was, if Metro is committed to advancing racial equity and wants the local partners to advance racial equity, put all of that criteria and all of those expectations into the base formula and calculation, and hold partners accountable to that. We also heard from counselors, too, the desire to not create any additional oversight or additional administrative needs if we don't need to, and really be able to help elevate and raise the floor and expectations for all of our regional partners as well as ourselves. So at this point, staff recommends kind of maintaining the basic distribution method that we had proposed initially. So and all of those, again, the criteria in that will include the racial equity outcomes, inclusive engagement of community members, climate resiliency, and low impact development practices. Any questions, comments, or concerns about that? Great. And again, as things bubble up, we'll give you more detail. So I have amazingly only 2.5 slides left and 40 minutes, but we don't need to take all that time. So we're now onto the big conversation.
Slow down. Keep going.
Just got to get through that first punch.
So, I'll be heartbroken if we had to leave early.
I know, right? Some folks are getting to the Oregon City Community Engagement Meeting is this evening, I believe. Right, Heather? Yeah?
Yes, Wilsonville one tonight, too.
In the Wilsonville? Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff going. So, urban transformation. So what I wanted to do is talk about two potential concepts for discussion. What came back to us from stakeholder table and from community members was that there was uncertainty about what is not the purpose of the urban transformation. They appreciate that idea of how do you leverage housing, transportation, parks, and natural areas, and sort of bring together more nature into neighborhoods and into some of these potential large-scale developments. But what there was questions, one, about the name of it, urban transformation. I know some other members of council have had that question, so I hope I can get a head nod that we can, whichever direction we go, that we can look at changing the name of this program area to better fit. I'm seeing head nods. And I know Councillor Lewis wasn't able to be here, but she had mentioned interest in potentially renaming it to be a better fit for program area. Okay. Got that out of the way.
Didn't nod my head or shake my head.
Yeah, yeah. Just indifferent.
I'm interested in understanding the argument. I mean, yes, I want clarity for sure.
So the two.
What is it about urban and transformation?
Yeah, so I think part of it is that it sounds like, is it an urban renewal thing? Is it a program that already exists? Is it truly going to be a transformational project, and how do we define that? I think there was The two main pieces that people were uncertain of, what's the decision-making mechanism? And that's really what they're kind of talking about in this discussion. And what is the specificity of either the types of projects or the potential areas that would be projects? And so I think that's where there was uncertainty of, is this truly going to be something that is a urban transformation, urban renewal? Is it a nature neighborhood? Is it, where does it really quite fit? So we can hold the naming of it for later and focus more on the elements piece.
And it's taking a concept and leveraging a bunch of stuff that maybe a whole bunch of our folks weren't thinking that we would go outside of parks to talk about how we leverage those other things. So making that connection.
Well, we've heard that residents are counting on metro and our local government partners to manage growth the right way by planning and protecting river streams, natural areas as we grow, to ensure future generations enjoy the same quality of life today that we do, that we will tomorrow. And when investments are made in major housing and transportation projects, we need to protect and reclaim rivers, wetlands, trees, and other important natural features in urban areas for the benefit of people and wildlife. He's come directly from some of the public opinion polling. So there is a desire and interest to have this synergy. I think the question is, what is the decision-making mechanism for how those funds are distributed? How does it, is there a clear council policy? Is it a new oversight committee? Is it nested somewhere? So we have two options to sort of bring to you all. But before you have something to...
So I was just going to acknowledge that Councillor Craddock had come up with an amazing idea that I didn't quite get until Jonathan explained it to me, which is Concept B, and put this program nested inside nature in the neighborhoods, because one of the issues was oversight. Who is going to do the oversight? And either way, we need to create an oversight committee, right? But I had thought, well, the nature in the neighborhoods is such a small grant-making program, in terms of small, of the amount of money we're talking about, how could those people possibly transition to thinking about this other thing? It's already a concept that people understand, nature in the neighborhoods, and the grants are much larger than I had thought. So I think that's one of the concepts you put on the table, Jonathan, is, okay, so how do we nest this as basically a mega project within, right, a mega project type of program within nature in the neighborhoods, and then provide a new oversight committee?
That is potential. So Concept A is a standalone program, urban transformation.
With a new name.
With a new name, potentially. We'll continue to have clarity on the program purpose and outcomes. We need to decide what is the decision-making mechanism of that fund, that program area, and ensure that racial equity and accountability is in there. There's also conversations about Willamette Falls, and it could either stay directly into this program area. There's also some councillors potentially and some stakeholders that are interested in seeing Willamette Falls be called out as a separate project or within the Metro Capital projects, but that any sort of non urban transformation funds would go with the Willamette Falls project. So that's Concept A, standalone project, program area, do some refinement, decision-making clarity. Concept B is, we already have an existing Nature Neighborhoods grant program that has a very clear sort of mandate and expectations. So could you create a new name urban transformations grant track that, again, would carry that large size of money and would have a new group that would help to be the decision makers about how the grants and the applications that come in are distributed, but that it would live under the Nature and Neighborhoods grant program, but still have an explicit carve-out for the funds. And
Willamette Falls. And would still...
Willamette Falls, I wouldn't think, would need to be in the Nature Neighborhood grants because it is a program that we have already committed to and have an adopted master plan. So that would be a conversation also for council. But I wouldn't think we would ask the Nature Neighborhoods group to ask for, or the Willamette Falls Legacy Project to ask for a grant fund. But
right. Yeah. Are you pointing?
It's my hand and
okay.
My card.
Okay, go.
I appreciate that discussion. I also appreciate the concern, I guess, from some stakeholders that we haven't been sufficiently precise or specific, use examples. So I'd like to throw out a few examples, if that's okay. I also heard, and forgive me if this is inaccurate, that some observers were questioning whether this would become some kind of slush fund. And I want to state, from my perspective, Metro doesn't fund slush. There is no intention here on my part, and I've been advocating for some ideas under this rubric, to have some vast discretionary fund that Metro Council or other groups could play around with. This has to be as rigorously undertaken, as carefully planned, and as consensus-based as every other program we take on. Could I just for a moment riff on a couple of examples? I think it's entirely appropriate to say that Willamette Falls is on the way. We don't have to put it back into another box and make it climb out again. That's a new project under transformation. But Willamette Falls is an exemplar of the scale and complexity and commingling of resources from various communities, organizations, governments toward a common purpose and set of outcomes that connects people to nature. And that is a particularly spectacular piece of nature. But we have other spectacular opportunities, maybe not the second largest falls by volume in North America, but you know what I'm trying to say. In the Willamette Falls category, we have an obvious community candidate in the Albina Vision. It's a vision about restoring a physical part of the city of Portland that once was the heart of the African-American community, the largest African-American community in Oregon and certainly the most substantial one in Portland. One element of that vision, along with discussing how I-5 in that area could be covered or the surface above it repurposed, is making a connection to the Willamette River. Some of the renderings we've seen, some of this last night again at the Parks Foundation that sponsors mm-hmm. that forum,
mm-hmm.
That featured discussion about the Albina Vision, includes an overlook at the stadium level, the ground floor level of Veterans Memorial Coliseum that extends over Interstate Avenue and provides a physical connection down to the Willamette River and a visual connection across and above the edge of the river, above the Interstate Avenue, physically reconnecting that part of the city to the Willamette River, a place that's now dominated by the old Dreyfus Mill or grain elevators sort of busted up parking lot. That is an element of a program of investment that includes the City of Portland, the Oregon Department of Transportation, Portland Parks Foundation, and could include Metro. And it could include not only our parks resources, either deployed in pursuit of some open space portions of a cover for I-5, but also some element of connecting to the river. It could include our transportation funding. Should we have a transportation measure in the future, some resources to soften the community impact of that I-5 interchange development to enhance the design, possibly including elements of the cover, and, of course, our affordable housing program, which could ensure that whatever investment is made serves low-income people, white, black, and brown, in that area, as well as the higher-end development that might be attracted to that kind of public investment. So that's a comparable to Willamette Falls as an example of what might be accomplished. Another thing that comes to mind for me, in terms of the community-based effort to achieve it, the engagement of low-income communities, white, black, and brown, is Cully Park, which was primarily a City of Portland project on an old Metro-owned piece of landfill, if I remember correctly. But it had an engagement process and a design process that was community-run, and it was a transformative experience for the Cully community. We have other communities like that, certainly in Multnomah County and elsewhere in the region, where there's a deficit of parks opportunities, where there are communities that really need a success. And my brain keeps drifting to the state economist Christian Kaler calls the poorest county in Oregon, which is Multnomah County east of 82nd Avenue. And right in the heart of that poorest county in Oregon is the Rockwood community. And I got to think that with all those old gravel pits and partially scoured over lands, that there's an opportunity to connect very close to Rockwood Rising some kind of amenity that serves to connect the people of that community to nature. So those are my ideas about examples. I can't point to the map and say, let's do that. That's not in my power. The council can take a step in that direction. But if people want examples of the kind of thing that I think this program could and should be designed to accomplish, those would be the two that come to my mind.
Councilor?
As we're looking at the different concepts of potential program investments, and originally under the umbrella of the concept of urban transformation, I know it was described that Willamette Falls might fall under that. But the other descriptions I've heard of other projects that might fit there are all considerably different than that. I guess I have a question, is why wouldn't projects like Willamette Falls more logically fall under metro capital projects? And I would agree with Councillor Stacey. My vision, at least, for urban transformation, I thought Cully is a perfect example of something that's been done, where you go into an area that's previously been developed but has a dearth of open space or parkland, green space of any kind, and be able to go into those kinds of neighborhoods and create an open space. And something in Rockwood is a perfect example of something that could do. So I'm a little... When I look at the different options that are being considered here, and calling it nature and neighborhoods, originally what I thought was, okay, so we'll have a nature and neighborhoods grants for somebody else and have a nature and neighborhoods program that's for Metro, where Metro spends money on nature and neighborhoods. I don't know. I think if we use the same name for two different programs, that could be confusing. I don't know that we want to expand the Nature and Neighborhoods grants to include the projects that we would ordinarily have done ourselves under the aegis of urban transformation. So I would be, if the term urban transformation is confusing to people, I'm all in to find a better name. But I still think the idea of using that particular bucket of money to go into the developed landscape, find places that do not have parkland, and figure out a way to take what is now perhaps something that's already been developed, or as you suggest, waste ground like a gravel pit or something else, and turn that into a natural amenity. On the other hand, I'm not sure that Albina Vision fits in that, particularly with regard to the cap, especially with what I've seen of the Albina Vision's vision of what they want that to be. It looks very urban. Yeah, that's not a natural area. Even creating the cap over Interstate Avenue to provide access down to the Willamette River, still not a natural area. I think that may be something that could be addressed in various ways. I don't know whether we make a big deal out of saying that this bond program is to provide, to restore and protect nature. That doesn't do it. I mean, that project doesn't do that. I think it's a very worthwhile project. I'm not sure this is the right bucket of money for that.
So let me go to Councillor Craddock, but I just want to, the Albina Vision, having just seen it again last night, is about restoring and reconnecting to the river, just like we're doing at Willamette Falls.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same.
I would agree with that.
So I actually don't see them as that different. I think the structure is probably bigger and more intensive, but that entire area is bigger and more intensive than Willamette Falls, so sorry.
Well, I've had the privilege to sit on the Nature Neighborhoods committee since I've been on the Metro Council. I've really enjoyed it, and really their projects that came before that group really are transformational. They definitely are urban transformational projects. That most of them were within the UGB, within our cities. And I'm thinking of a couple of them is the Bourbon Creek project that's in the Clackamas area in Gladstone, and how this funky little piece of water and how they were able to restore its function and its connection to the Willamette River. And then the so many of these projects that the properties that that were are in urban areas that we've been able to slowly restore and become natural areas again. So we have a lot of examples of these already. And so I think that the Nature Neighborhoods Program, by the name of it, isn't that different than what we're talking about. And so I'm sure staff will come up with some kind of title to this new program that will combine those two together to help us all be able to understand what this program is all about. So I don't think we're that far away from some of the work that we've already done that will then move into this new discussion. So you were talking about Albina, and you're talking about Rockwood. I really appreciate that. But there's two other.
I'd like to push on fellow councilors' districts.
No. I mean, but I think those examples.
Relatively fat and happy. I'm being hung by my thumbs for that.
Another couple of examples. So there's Wilkes Creek at East Portland. It's a creek that's a north-south creek. It runs into goes into the slough. And if you ever do a kayak trip down the slough, and as you're moving along, you suddenly see this water coming into the slough, and the first question I had is, where did that come from? Because there's no creek that you can physically see, but there is this a fairly robust creek that runs into the slough, but it's all in pipes. Some of that land was already purchased along Wilkes Creek in East Portland. I'm not sure which funds we used for that, if it was the city's matching funds or the local share, or if it was one of our projects. But there's already land been purchased that are the headwaters of that creek. You know, this is a really good example of, are there ways to be able to open up that creek and daylight it so it becomes part of the community. Fairview Creek is another north-south creek. We have, our Grant Butte wetlands are the headwaters for that creek, and this goes north through Gresham. It, of course, in Fairview, and becomes the wetlands? What is the Salish Pond? Thank you.
Yeah.
It becomes Salish Ponds. But now with the Main Streets on Halsey discussion that the three cities are having, Fairview, Wood Village, and Troutdale, they're talking about how do we daylight more of Fairview Creek, because it literally goes right through the city of Fairview, and then it becomes Fairview Lake. Fairview Lake is the headwaters of the Columbia Slough. So there's really some good opportunities out there and already examples that we could use where there's been some daylighting and bringing these creeks back to be able to be part of our urban transformation. So I think we're not that far away. I believe that the Nature Neighborhoods Program already was very transformational, and I know that we could, as you work on the criteria and our goals, we could really put those two, this urban transformation notion, and have it become part of the Nature Neighborhoods Program and then rename it to something that's more appropriate. But
except it's not money that we would spend. We would give it to somebody else to spend?
Yeah. But it was a matching program, so we made money available to these different organizations and government agencies, and then they had to come up with a match. And that match sometimes takes a lot of years, and there's still a fair amount of money available to these organizations that they're still trying to get their project going and get the match. So it's like the slow developer, like the Port of Portland plays and industrial lands. It's that our money is the first in, and it starts that discussion and allows those organizations and those government agencies then to figure out how they're going to come up with their match and to be able to create a program that really can make a difference.
Right, I get all that, but we already have a Nature and Neighborhoods grant program for other jurisdictions. I thought our idea behind urban transformation would be things that Metro would identify and do. And are you talking about a separate program within Nature and Neighborhoods that has a different criteria, a different requirement toward providing green space in an area that doesn't have green space?
I don't see this as a program that urban transformation, that's something that Metro has to take responsibility for. I think it's, again, it can be a matching program, and the local jurisdictions can have some responsibility in it. Our staff were very involved in every project and guided it, and were very careful about how those projects went forward. So I don't see that there has to be Metro's responsibility. I sure we can use the same programs that we were using in the nature neighborhoods, but it doesn't. It could be Albina. It could be the city of Portland doing that, and we just bring money to help them achieve their goals that meet our objectives.
Could it also be Metro? I mean, is it that you think it just should be that, or would you be open to it being, in some cases, Metro?
I guess so. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that by any means. I'm just going on the example that I'm, in my experience. So I have to ponder that, how that would work.
Well, I did have comment on this. I really actually appreciate the community input. I really appreciate the community input around the feedback around the language of urban transformation, the feeling that this may be a slush fund, and clearly that's not what we want. I think what that actually helps us understand is that we're not as clear about this program as we could be, and that's the opportunity that I think we're getting out of this. So it's really a good example of the community input kind of really helping empower, create a better product here. For me, I like all of the concepts that we've talked about, and I think in our minds were pretty close in terms of the kinds of things that we consider urban transformation. I think we might do well to. I really like Councillor Craddock's ideas about bringing up some streams and bringing back nature in some places. The connection that I think is key there is that for me, the transformation, the urban transformation intent part was, is it going to inspire other, infill kind of building and community building and infrastructure building right here in our urban areas, in our cities? Is it going to be a part of a strategy to bring in housing, to bring in transportation, to bring in, other community space? So that's what's exciting about Willamette Falls. That's what's exciting about Albina Vision. That's what's exciting about Cully. If something like what Councillor Craddock's talking about is also kind of bringing in those other elements, to me that's a part of the recipe for this. And so I think if we are able to have some more clarity around what the criteria would be for this, whether it's part of the nature of neighborhoods and that makes a more efficient delivery system, great. I actually do like the idea of using the existing systems and more efficient government is, thumbs up on that. And then here's one of my one pitches. Instead of urban transformation, which is very speaker, planning speak, maybe something like nature in cities, because it's bigger than neighborhoods. The nature in neighborhoods part is really about, more single kind of, creation of open space or natural area for neighborhoods. This is about really about that bigger picture of making cities thrive and realizing that we are kind of taking that next big step of inspiring and bringing it to a more regional level.
Cully was a nature neighborhoods project.
Yes.
Cully was nature neighborhoods and local share and city of Portland.
So that's my point, is we already are doing this, and I don't know if we want to have us see the list of projects that were funded through Nature Neighborhoods, but I think that would give you some insight to know how those funds were used. That we're already doing this.
Well, and what I would say is that I think yes, Cully, it's happening. Whether it was us inspiring that to happen or we were part of the strategy is kind of a little bit of a different component to me. It's are we going to inspire that kind of thing and take a little bit bigger step in really pushing our funding toward places where that is going to be happening and we're going to further that.
So can I take a moment and break this back down? Because I think we've got a lot of ideas on the table, and so I just want to go back through for clarity. We have two concepts, alone or under nature in the neighborhoods. Either way, it needs a new name. Okay, so we all agree on that. All the head nodding happened there. I think we're onto something. Built communities instead of neighborhood, cities instead of neighborhood. I just came up with regional green development partnership, regional green communities partnership, complete communities partnership, words that we've already used, but maybe there's something in the communities aspect and actually completing communities, because that's what we're talking about, is being a partner to do a complete community and leverage that conversation. So will you come back, Jonathan, with some proposals for names that make more sense based on this conversation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So let's move that off the table. We're going to move forward with a new name. You have another idea?
No, I wanted to contribute to the conversation, but it was so rich. It was just like watching everything. I was here with Councillor Lewis, during the stakeholder committee, and really hearing the feedback from folks, and I really appreciated that. I know that when I and other councillors were having that conversation around creating a new allotment under "quote unquote" urban transformation, we are leading with values and a specific outcome in mind, and mm-hmm. I think that the way that one it wasn't. Either expressed but also digested and interpreted, there was that the slush fund, the alarms, and so forth. But I do want to bring us back to, I think, the values and the outcomes for why we created the urban transformation pot. And I don't necessarily think that it fits in the nature and neighborhoods pot, because there's projects of different scale catalyzing for different things. And that by itself, Nature and Neighborhoods, from my understanding, is still growing as a program with the 2019 bond as well. It seems to me that the biggest things that we need to achieve to move forward are, one, identifying projects and being more clear with our partners. And two, do we need to separate some projects from certain pots? Willamette Falls, Albina Vision, based on, I know I spoke with Councillor Lewis before our work session today, and she just wanted to make sure we didn't lose the importance of that project to her, not only her district, but the region as well. But most importantly, clarifying the sideboards and the parameters specifically, because it even sounds like right now there's disagreement based on, is this a catalyst for also transportation and housing dollars, a multi-jurisdictional thing? Is this a smaller nature neighborhood that can be scaled? Is urban transformation, do we have a different grant size than nature neighborhoods? I'm not sure exactly, but I would like to see urban transformation, or whatever we rename it to be something, a value that we keep, that we can catalyze certain types of projects, which I think is the distinction Sam is making, that, we can be a funder and we can support the work that someone is moving forward, or we could be a catalyst in helping move that forward. And I understand that sometimes we put the money first and then we expect the match to come later, but I think when it comes to the scale of Albina Vision, Rockwood, and Willamette Falls, it's another level of project. And also, I need to get Washington County a project.
that was helpful, and that's where I was going, is the kind of the next steps. So either way, we need a new name, and now I'm hearing Green Communities Catalyst Program. But the program purpose and outcomes, the majority of what I'm hearing is less of a naturehood and a neighborhoods type project that we've had in the past, and more of the types of projects that we've all named off here. So while they're two different purposes and outcomes, we might have projects within there that look very similar, but they're done in coordination with a bigger development, whether it be the Jade District or whether it be Beaverton, right? The point is to come in and be able to do that as part of a larger development, not just as a pure parks or a pure open space. So we might daylight a creek as part of a larger development near a gravel pit, but we're not, or in an old gravel pit, right? But we're not doing it as a separate project. So to me, I'm trying to figure out more about how do we work with our folks in planning to actually be able to help us describe this as how to be a good partner with the parks, with leveraging what we're asking to be leveraged, right? The outcomes that you want to get. We can describe those outcomes. I hope you can take away some of those outcomes, but how do we actually describe it as that leverage, that catalyst for a greater community build out, right? So that it's clearer. But I don't think we're going to be able to edit anything here today. So, and we also need a different oversight committee. We need to have an oversight committee, and we need to be more articulate about what that oversight committee would do. So all of those things you've put on here, but we need a recommendation. I guess the question is, I need a thumbs up or thumbs down. Is it concept A or concept B that Jonathan goes back and starts spending some time thinking about? And we'll come back to Willamette Falls.
I'm probably shooting myself in the foot here, too, but it doesn't necessarily need to be binary, A, B. I know it's going to make my life crazy, but obviously if there's some sort of hybrid. But, yes, getting towards some clarity of what's the decision-making piece in there? Is it council-directed? Is it community-directed? Where's that oversight live too?
I'm fine with an oversight committee. I think we'd all be good with an oversight committee, but we need to provide more of the clarity of the box that we are creating in order for that oversight committee to do their job.
So do you envision it as a grant program? I think that's the question about the oversight committee. Is this a program where people are going to apply to it, or is this something that you all want to make sure that the thing about Willamette Falls is obviously the nature.
It's opportunistic.
Well, but no, there's a lot of other money at Metro invested before we ever got to the point where we had a project. And through those other investments, through the 2040 Planning and Development grants, we learned that nature was the investment that unlocked the redevelopment potential.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the great lesson that you guys are sparking here, is where are the places where nature and the investment in water quality, habitat, and access are the things that unlock the redevelopment potential. I just wonder if you think it's a grant program or if it's something where you want to define some projects now and then every 2 or 3 years take another look to see if something's come out of, say, the planning and development programs or the transportation investments where you go, oh, here's the next one.
So the Nature Neighborhoods program was a grant program where the jurisdictions or nonprofits applied for the funds. And that's what was transformational. It was exactly what you're describing. And I wonder if...
There were a hybrid, though, of Nature and Neighborhoods applications.
Yes, yeah. And I wonder if some of those projects, if you want, we should distribute that to the council so they can see what some of those projects were.
What I'm hearing is what John just said, which is the council conversation suggests sort of a hybrid with its own unique criteria and maybe a different scale of investment.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing you all say.
Yes.
So I agree with him that I'm probably causing him a little pain. But I think that's what we ought to ask him to go work with the planning department on, is let's think about sort of a combo of urban redevelopment impacts that are connected to nature.
Yes.
And it may have its own grant criteria.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I had envisioned. But I guess my what I don't want this to be is the perception that group walked away from is that the Metro Council will be opportunistically choosing projects that benefit whatever stakeholders that are not at the table.
You want policy criteria behind it, and you want some kind of predictability around it so that it is an actual program, not just a...
For instance, there are Metro 2040 grants going out. They're being discussed right now for projects that would potentially be in the queue to come back and be part of the park's bond measure. So, you know, is it people that we're working with right now, and those are where the projects come from? I don't know. I mean, there might be some synergy there so that at least the projects are already part, like you said, they come up from other programs, but there's probably some that won't come through Metro 2040. So
just to clarify, so is this a program that the Metro Council decides what projects are in there, or is this something that would come from the community?
What I heard articulated is that it's essentially another grant program. right?
Yes.
So the projects would bubble up, and you would have defined criteria, and you would have an independent selection, a Metro Council appointed selection committee to advise you about what you should fund. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
But it wouldn't be Metro that actually
builds it,
manages the project. The money would go to somebody else that would do it. Is that what I'm hearing? That's what
I
either way.
We know yet.
Yeah, let us play with what the criteria would be, and that will help us define who the applicants can be.
So just to clarify, so we would still have a Nature in Neighborhoods program in addition to
this. This is separate from our existing Nature in Neighborhoods grant program.
So
we still have that.
But let's do a little thumbs up, thumbs down. Can we do that?
Standalone program?
Standalone first. I'm leaning that way only because of the issue that Councillor Dirksen raised about. Yeah.
Can we vote for that and the hybrid
one?
Okay,
first let's
choosing.
So let's come back to that. How many for standalone? All right, so we've got three, four, five. Ambivalent. Okay, and Nature in the Neighborhoods. No one wants it there now. Okay, what's your proposal for a third?
Well, I think there's, I mean, I don't know exactly what we mean by standalone program, I guess. I don't like the idea of it just being under Nature and Neighborhoods. I like the idea of borrowing as many efficiencies as we can from other programs, if that's possible, and structuring it in a way that minimizes kind of the cost of having a whole independent program. But if it's presented and as a standalone program and it's under, you know, that might help really provide a lot more clarity. So I like that more than under the Nature Neighborhoods umbrella, but conceptually, you know, tied into the Nature Neighborhoods in some way,
as part of
behind
the
scenes kind of potentially, I think would work for me.
What if under the program it could be our oversight committee our staff could come up with a project that we think and it would go to the oversight committee, or other jurisdictions could propose a project, but that proposal would come to our oversight committee to make the decision on which ones are going
to
be built.
Both go to the oversight committee, yes.
Yeah.
Internally generated and externally
generated. It could be our own staff or us. Or other jurisdictions, but the proposals are made to the oversight committee. They work to balance those and make the decision.
That could oversee both of these, Nature and Neighborhoods and the standalone.
No,
I think Jonathan is proposing that the Nature and Neighborhoods is very specific.
Different. But the oversight committee, could you have a single structure there rather than two separate oversight processes? And
within the Nature Neighborhoods, if this program area was nested within there, you could create a different sort of oversight committee within Nature Neighborhoods specifically for this grant program.
Either way, it would be a new oversight committee.
Either way, you'd have to bring a different level of expertise because the magnitude of projects that you'd be investing in currently, the Nature Neighborhoods is in $50,000 to $1 million. The urban transformation new name, would it be on the scale of $2 to $5 million probably types of investments.
Well,
so.
And if I could too, you would probably want some urban development expertise on your oversight committee for this.
Yeah.
Whereas Nature Neighborhoods, I'm not quite sure that's as important.
I lean, just to be clear, more towards the standalone, I think, probably,
so
conceptually then.
I think we need a recommendation on a standalone program, even though I think it would work under Nature in the Neighborhoods, but it might cause some confusion there as well. Either way, we're creating confusion because it's new.
Yeah.
I, just to be clear, I'm more than any of that, I'm more concerned that we have clarity about what it is we're trying to achieve and the criteria.
Right.
That to me is the big problem to solve.
Sure.
Yep.
I feel like there are three big criteria that are really jumping through. You know, one is all of the projects that have been listed are significant steps in advancing racial equity.
Yep.
You know, Robina, Rockwood, and the communities that live there, ensuring that they can continue to live there. Jade, and Willamette Falls, and uncovering and retelling the story of Oregon's history. And our tribes, and also unlocking redevelopment potential. I mean, those are things that are really coming through.
Affordable housing redevelopment potential.
Yeah. So those are things that are just resonating to me, and I feel like being as explicit as possible will hopefully help our stakeholder committee feel more comfortable with it. Awesome. But if not, then there's something to, that we then we need to take away from that and talk about again.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes. I think that the stakeholder table will still be, I think, curious to understand how, I think we'll have to come back to you as staff to get a better sense of how do I actually crystallize
yes.
your vision and send that message forward.
And I commit to helping you with that.
Yeah, I think that's what our job is to,
yep.
if I'm understanding how we're going, our job is to have some criteria come back to us and say, yeah, that's what we want to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I think
we
have
stuff that's in our heads on paper so people can understand what we want to try
yeah,
to accomplish.
Currently you have access to the current criteria for this program area as we understand it with racial equity, climate resilience, and the specifics of the program criteria.
Well,
but I think there's an opportunity to refine it and clarify also the program activities that this is another grant program that we'll have an oversight committee and we'll have to come back to you all and make sure that we're framing this with a name that makes sense to what we're trying to achieve. And
I tried to come up with an acronym that would be PARC, but it didn't work. At least not yet. So
this is helpful. Thank you. Gives us some.
So we have one more thing. Willamette Falls. the project itself would be a phase two of a project that we've committed to. And I think that's the commitment that this council has made going forward. My head had it in this bucket because it is the biggest example we have of what we're trying to do. So while we just said we were creating a grants program, if it stayed in the urban transformation new name, can we just give it a symbol? Formerly known as. If we put it in that bucket, it would be earmarked. It would not be part of the grants process, right? But if you put it under capital projects for Metro, it is part of the earmarked list of projects. So while I understand both of those, I feel like divorcing Willamette Falls from that urban transformation bucket means that we have a harder time explaining what it is in this first round. So that's my issue in my head that we're trying to resolve here is we have made a commitment to Willamette Falls.
Yep.
It will be in here, and it will be earmarked. But where does it go?
We have others like that, too. Newell Creek Canyon, Chehalem Ridge.
In phase two?
That's not part of this urban transformation concept.
Well, but they could be. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We have other projects similar to Willamette Falls that we've committed to, like Newell Creek Canyon and Chehalem Ridge. Where do those two projects land in this?
Those are in the capital project list named out already.
So
this was clustered underneath the urban transformation because that's what we were trying to achieve. And the question is, does it stay there or does it get put into the capital projects list?
Yeah, as long as it's in one or the other, and whichever one.
But do you feel comfortable earmarking something that's in a grant
program?
Yeah.
Well, my biggest question is when we designed the grant program for you know Green Catalyst or whatever or Urban Transformation. What is the size of the grant program going to be versus what is the expectation that Willamette Falls would have from us? Would we be cutting the funding short? You know,
it would still come out of that pot of money.
Okay.
What's bouncing around in my head is that we're talking about identifying some new target areas. We've named several today. We're going to have capital grants associated with it. We need to have a constituency. We may be issuing the resources to partners as opposed to carrying them out ourselves. It partakes of a number of categories we have, and which is why, for now, a standalone program that we get defined in our heads with staff's assistance And then if it looks so much like an existing category in the bond program, let's go that way. But for now, your snappy new name without further limitation is probably as wise as anything else. Maybe it is a target area or two. Maybe it is a combination of local grant-receiving entities and direct capital expenditures by Metro.
So the only way I see out of it is to somehow, you need to name it Willamette Falls phase blank of this program that we just created.
Question of Willamette Falls.
The question is where Willamette Falls project actually, where do we house it? And it's, to me, it's not that big a deal because we've already said we're committing it. But if you take it out of this new program, I think it's harder to sell the program because you don't have the example sitting in the program.
Yeah. And Albina Vision isn't fully cooked. It isn't a part of a plan.
Well, there's other things are going to...
There's nothing that's really codified outside of a PowerPoint.
And they haven't come and applied to our new grant program.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I would suggest is we leave Willamette Falls in this new standalone program as a phase two committed, and the rest of it is the grant program. But I know that there's a desire to have it.
I like that idea. I think it's a good idea.
Just to clarify, with Willamette Falls, the way we're looking at this, it wouldn't just be necessarily a phase two commit. It's really just a commitment to the whole project plan, which hasn't been explicitly written out into the phases. I think we had a little bit of this conversation.
Yeah.
This is potentially the opportunity for New Metro to invest in the Willamette Falls Legacy project through the entire completion of it.
Yeah.
If we're able to continue to leverage the same
programmatic investment, then
there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to make sure we're not ruffling. Or Council Lewis isn't here to speak on behalf of the project.
I wish he was here.
So I want to make sure. I think there's also just the challenge with Willamette Falls is such. There's only one Willamette Falls in the world. It is such a unique thing, and it doesn't currently have an explicit tie to affordable housing, which I know there was that interest in having the synergy clearly between transportation, green space, and affordable housing.
Yeah.
And so I guess I would just caution that I would hope that you don't unfairly force Willamette Falls into a program area that maybe it can't even meet some of its the criteria of this new standalone program area. So,
and we can certainly have the question of how do we call that out as grandfathered
or grandmothered.
Grandmothered, I like that.
Grandma was big in my house. Called the shots.
But I am just one last comment.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at the criteria that we do have for this so far, which it's I think just kind of generalistic in terms of what we're trying to achieve, the kind of bulk of it being leverage with public-private investments and affordable housing, transit, connection to local and regional parks, and then a couple other things. But I think if we can extract some of the language that was used here to try to kind of refine, I liked the unlocking redevelopment opportunity.
Catalyst,
you know, a little more active in terms of helping people envision what we're talking about, and see what the results might, you know, kind of envision what those results might be.
Yeah. Sounds clear. Change the name, Concept A. I've got some work to do. I think my sleeves are up. I think that's that.
I'll just repeat. Cully is a good example of what you're describing, and it was the Nature Neighborhoods funding that helped make that begin, that got that started. It was a catalyst. So, I'm not opposed to this. What you're discussing, I just think that we're kind of repeating history here. We already have some of this in place through that Nature Neighborhoods program, it just feels like we're kind of recreating the wheel here.
So I think when we come out with the criteria, we should definitely put the two next to each other because I think the criteria should look different, it should feel different, and it's not right now.
Good one.
Yeah. So, okay.
Just to wrap up, a reminder, here's what's happening in April. Stakeholder table on the 8th, MPAC coming up on the 10th, some more community forums, Committee on Racial Equity, continue our focused engagement and outreach. And there'll be online surveys and media, so much more of that open public comment period from early mid-April through the rest of the month. And Other than that, got
is that how you feel?
I'm not sleeping yet.
Not relaxed.
Yeah. So this is the No Surprises tour and this debate or this conversation on this program area. So we've got some clarity on how to move forward. We'll have briefings with you all to go through in detail the maps and sort of the other elements that will be going out before it goes to the public, so you'll get a chance to get eyes on that. And if there's anything else that comes up, you know where to find us, or at least find Martha, and she can find me.
Thanks,
great,
John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work, everybody. All right. Before we adjourn and go into work session, we do not have counselor communications, but I do want to get back to everybody on a question that Counselor Gonzalez had about having a conversation about the Rose Corridor prior to us providing our input. There's an April 1st deadline on the Rose Corridor project, and we had asked staff to do a technical staff-to-staff comment and then more of a policy letter, and that's being drafted, and we should be able to talk about it. We're going to, after the business meeting on Thursday, we'll go into a quick work session to talk about this, the draft letter, and maybe do a little bit of debrief on what's been going on in this area that we are involved in. Because there's a lot of good momentum, but I don't think that this thing is up and over the hill to get it to a point where it's the vision is moving towards being an adopted plan yet. So, but there's a lot of good work going on around it. So if that's okay with everybody, after business meeting, we'll have a work session. Okay?
Thursday.
Is it okay? Okay. Sounds good. All right, so we'll adjourn from the council work session and go into executive session.
We're not having council communications.
No, not today.
Really
okay. Yeah, we have three executive sessions.